This next song is quite simply the greatest composition in human history. And if you disagree, I will fight you.
I'm gonna find my baby, gonna hold her tight, gonna grab some afternoon delight. My motto's always been, when it's right, why wait until the middle of a cold, dark night? When everything's a little clearer in the light of day, then you know the night is always gonna be there anyway.
Thinking of you's working up my appetite, looking forward to a little afternoon.
Keep the track going and let's take Jeff's call. Number five there. Go ahead. I think it's appropriate, Hutch. Jeff? Jeff, it's David Lee. Do you have a message here, Jeff?
Yes, I do.
And go ahead and speak to her, Jeff. Play the music. Go ahead.
I just wanted to call in and offer up my services to your sister. I felt really bad that she didn't have anybody to sexually harass, so I am ready, willing, and able.
Afternoon delight.
Well, we just got an amazing breakfast brought up to us by the folks from Palm West down on 50th. An amazing breakfast of red meat and all the fixings, and she's going to be ready to sexually harass you, homeboy. She's going to whip your little beetle nut head put off like it was a piece of dry Play-Doh. Have another bite of steak, sweetie. Jeff is getting ready. Yeah. All right, pick up the pieces here, Hutch, because we're getting ready to sexually harass a few people. I know I am. It's Friday. That's the third day of the weekend, man.
I wish I could walk around every day with background music.
Well, you got to have two kinds of background music. You got the guitarist here, the live guitarist, like in what was the movie with Cameron Diaz and what was something about
Mary?
Don't you remember? Every now and then, at the plot points, a guitarist shows up on the corner and he kind of sings what's coming up, like that. Brian Young, our electric guitarist, is in the background. Go ahead and jam it up, babe. Big surprise. Brian and I kept our day job. One big booty call, Roth Radio, Roth Family Hanukkah. David Lee, I'm in charge, or at least I was until my sister starts looking at me that way. David Lee Roth, my sister Lisa Roth, Animo.
Yeah. Can't wait to get that steak in me, man.
You can smell it.
Do you smell that?
Me crazy.
They brought lobster.
Okay, the lobsters were like 3 feet long.
No, that was animal's tongue hanging out. No, that's an amazing breakfast over there. The great people from the Palm. It was my sister who thought of it. I said, hey, we had brought up something about, I don't know what it was. Somebody sent us something else. Energy drinks.
Energy drinks.
We got like six cases of ice, liquid ice or whatever. That's going to get me through the weekend.
Yeah.
And then it was Lisa who said, hey, can we call the Palm and get breakfast? You larcenous little tramp. Who loves you? Say it.
My going away party.
Say it. You are going away. We're going to miss you, man. You're going to come back and visit us?
Oh, I hope so. This has been unbelievable.
Doing radio is the best gig on earth, isn't it?
I swear.
Radio, I would do for free. They pay me to wake up at 4 a.m. That's it. Did anybody try to sexually harass you while you were here in New York? I mean, it completes the experience. I mean, you know.
No, but I'm not sure what that says about me. Should I be upset?
Well, once you have that breakfast that the good folks from the Palm West brought, you're going to have enough whatever it is in your bloodstream. I've been accused of sexually harassing an entire generation and a half, Lise. You just got to pick one here. You're not leaving tonight, are you?
No, tomorrow.
Well, let's go to the striptease place.
I'll dance.
Roth Radio, she's dancing. Try and keep your sisters off the pole, guys.
Didn't work.
Anyways, we got Ron Scholar coming up. He's a New York city attorney, and he developed a pre-sexual agreement that was inspired by the Kobe Bryant case. We feel that Jude Law is next up for being sexually whatever. It's almost a sexual thing when you get, sued these days.
Yeah.
It's the opposite of Viagra. You get sued, you won't get it up for a fiscal year, man.
It's a badge.
Number six, Fester. Uncle Fester, you're on Roth Radio. Go ahead, my friend.
Hey, Dave, what's up, fellow EMT, long time fan.
Please go, yeah.
Now, listen, you know, you can't really blame this woman too much. I mean, you're not talking about a scal who's, you know, just hanging around on the outsides and stuff. You're talking about a $250,000 a year VP.
Okay, and
she doesn't have some validity.
Okay, did you say that she has validity and that there must be some element of truth? Is that your thought?
Yes.
Okay, well, I'm going to agree with you. Do you think it's worth? Do you think that that some element of whatever it was is worth $6.5 million?
Well, you got to remember, she went to them and said to them that there was a problem. They fired her. Then she asked for $6 million.
Ah, a plot development that I was not aware of.
She went to the garden and she went to them and said to them, hey, look, there's a problem. This guy's sexually harassing me. He doesn't respect who I am. He's got the other players, you know, thinking I'm some kind of whore. And then they turn around and they say, okay, well, let's see. Let's weigh the options here. Nobody VP versus Isaiah Thomas. Coach of the Knicks.
Okay, so what do you think the proper settlement for her might be? Go ahead and...
You're looking at a $250,000 a year exec, $6 million. I mean, you know, she's not going to be able to work there no more.
Where will she be? You think she'll be able to work somewhere else, or is this a jacket she's going to wear forever?
That's it. She's done in the corporate field. She's done. Nobody will have. She's branded now.
Okay, because everybody thinks she's a rat or whatever.
Sure.
Okay.
Everybody thinks she's out for a buck. I mean, let's face it. Look at her.
Okay, but you feel that she's well worth that $6.5 million and that's a justifiable sum to ask for?
I think that if she's going to lose her position and she can't make money the way she's used to making that money, sure.
Lise, what do you think? What do you think?
You know, these situations really, first of all, you know I hate everybody. I don't trust a soul. I don't know. I don't have a clear-cut feeling, and I don't like not knowing something for sure. I don't know.
I can't tell them on this one either, but $6.5 million is a career-ruining sum. Okay?
I mean, if what he's saying, let's say for sure, these are the facts.
Okay.
He makes a very good point.
He certainly does. I wonder if we can do lie detector tests. Is that even admissible? Would anybody even? No, nobody agrees to that. Because one person's not telling the full truth, guaranteed.
Well, maybe they're both not telling the full truth.
This is an interesting quandary here. What happens next? Do they go to court? Do they now just follow through on the suit? Does this guy continue working for the ball team?
For now.
This is an interesting case because the same thing happened almost, so to speak, for Kobe Bryant. And he came back full time. You know, what did he just score? 80 points or something like that? He made a major rebound. No pun intended there. But that could have potentially ruined his game forever. That kind of media attention, that kind of money going out, it's like hemorrhaging money when you get involved in a suit like that. And again, it's a case of somebody working for a percentage against somebody, you know, having to pay. Even at the end of the day, if it turns out the court says, nah, she didn't have a case, you still spend all the money, all those millions, literally, on all of your attorneys.
And energy.
Yeah, it's a major, major distraction there. Go for Steve there. Steve, talk to me. Roth Radio, 866-313-3733. What's your figure on this one, Steve?
It's got to be true, Dave, because look at the mug on her. You know what I'm saying? she's not even a good-looking chick, so it's got to be believable. You know, look at the other guy, Kobe Bryant. The girl was gorgeous. So what do you think? Hey, he definitely did it. But this chick, she's ugly, she's fat, you know? She's got a brutal face.
So what does that mean?
That means it's true. I think it's true. I think he did sexually harass her because he thought it was safe.
Well, what are you saying about Isaiah's taste?
No,
see, it makes sense.
Dave, Local 282, we're the guys, okay? Don't worry about it.
Take
care of it.
I think what he's saying, Lise, is that if you see an ugly chick, you figure that she's going to go for it. That's an easier prey. You follow what I'm saying? That she's going to be a little more thankful. Hey, you want to be happy for the rest of your life? Get an ugly woman to be your wife. You know the song. I think that's right out of the Bible, actually. That's Luke 3:68, isn't it? Listen to this message I'm telling you. Get an ugly woman to marry you. You know that one, right? That's scripture. That's right out of the Torah.
I think that's the first one I had to memorize in Sunday school.
Well, that's probably, if in fact, what our last caller was reflecting on is true. That's exactly the chemistry. I know that chemistry. Every guy in this room knows how that chemistry works, whether you want to admit it or not.
What? You're giving me that look.
No, I'm just thinking. Imagine that. That if she were beautiful, young and beautiful, you would automatically think she's lying.
I don't know. No, you would think she's also more guilty. Lise, you don't know how guys think, do you?
No, I wish I did. I have an idea.
You have an idea of how guys think?
Yeah.
Okay. Then, you know, realistically, if you look, this is what we all thought about Monica Lewinsky. This is what we all thought about Jennifer Flowers. Or who were some of the other girls that Clinton was supposedly mixed up with? What were these names? Linda Tripp or whatever, you know, and all these kinds of characters. When you see these people.
No, I don't think he approached Linda Tripp.
No?
She's the one who ratted
him out then, right?
She was the confidant to.
She was the jealous one.
She was the confidant to the girl.
Oh, and she's the one who had the makeover, right?
Yeah.
I saw her on Larry King and I kept thinking to myself, wow, that makeover looks great. And then I realized I was looking at Larry. But I wonder if she's now back working in the workplace. Is she?
No.
What, Anna?
I hear she was like homeless, had to sell a house. She lost everything, and it's pretty bad.
No. Now she's doing what they all do.
Which is what?
She's a motivational speaker.
Oh, she works.
No.
No, I'm going to take that seriously.
Isn't that what they all do?
Absolutely. You're going to sign up with the Learning Annex.
Is that on real estate?
You're going to go teach a class on this. You know what? We have a guest, I think, coming in or at least calling in next week. We talked about it at the meeting after the show yesterday. Omarosa Manigault Stallworth. I took a minute and actually memorized the name.
You did. I'm impressed.
And she's from The Apprentice, and she is a reality TV star. She's now been in a series of quote unquote reality things, and she's now a speaker.
Yes, she started on The Apprentice.
But she's a speaker now, has taught how to get into the game.
She's teaching.
How to maintain a career in the game, etc.
It's how to be a reality TV star.
Okay. Well, she's coming from a thin ice background. Okay, you know, what is her actual background? Do you know?
She actually worked in Washington in politics.
Doing what?
You know, I don't know what her position was.
We're not going to use the I word, are we?
No.
Come on, this is like every fashion model who goes, "Yeah, I was going to go to law school, but my legs were too long."
She had an actual paying job.
I'm sure of that. Now let's start again. What did she have to do for the money? Seriously.
She had a legitimate job in Washington.
I'm certain of that. And I'm certain that the legitimate job received money. What was the job?
I don't know.
Well, that's a very telling issue right there. Because, again, it's like every fashion model who goes, well, see, I was going to be a law student. Yeah, me too. Except I never made it past a...
Most of the contestants on Apprentice were like business people that got on the show. They all were happening in their business already. Okay. A lot of them were millionaires before they got on the show.
Okay, but when somebody says they worked in Washington, it's kind of like saying they worked up here in the studio. There's those who actually work and those who are working their way up to work. Okay, that's usually what an intern or an apprentice position is. And when she says she worked in Washington, somebody who looks like that and acts like that, I got to ask if she wasn't representing a neighborhood or a voter block or some such, or was she an actual a player? Was she actually somebody who made a contribution? Was she a secretary or something, or was she an intern?
She was not an intern. She had a legitimate paying job. I don't remember what it was. For some reason, I didn't memorize it.
And for some reason, she gave up the legitimate paying job in Washington, D.C. to go on a reality series. And now that's her occupation. That I find interesting. What was it about the other job that she didn't care for?
She wasn't famous.
Ah, fame is the issue. Fascinating. Give me number six here, Hutch. I want to talk about, let's see what he wants to talk about. Jared, you're on Roth Radio. Go for it.
Hey, how you doing?
Extraordinary, my friend. What's up?
Welcome to New York. Listen, I've been listening to you for a few weeks now, and you sound very good. You're a lot brighter than I thought you were.
Thank you.
But the thing on the lawyers, man, you're killing me on this. I'm an attorney in New York, and I do work on a fee. Sometimes I do it on a retainer, but the bottom line is I lose my license if I file a lawsuit that is frivolous. The bottom line is I get to court, and if I file a lawsuit, first of all, I can't state the exact dollar figure that I'm suing for. It's against the law now. It used to be that way maybe about a year and a half ago.
Where
they came up with the 6.5, I'm not sure, but the previous caller who talked about compensatory damages for a $250K a year job, that sounds about right. But if you have to hire a lawyer, and you have to pay the $500 an hour, that is something that you will get back if it is found that I filed a frivolous lawsuit.
Yeah, but to proving, but demonstrating that you actively and consciously filed a frivolous lawsuit could take up to 7 years. And even then, you can't conclusively demonstrate. And I have never heard of a person getting involved in this kind of a case reclaiming their attorney fees and the rest of it. Go ahead.
Let's say you hire somebody and you have to pay $500, which $500 is high. You know, you're looking in New York. If you get a senior partner, you're going to be $300 to $350, probably $250 across the board. But you have to come to court and you have to justify your bill as well. It's not something that you're just going to say, oh, you know, I won the lawsuit, now I get $1 million, which is something that they did with all these tobacco companies. That lawsuit with the attorney's fee down in the South was like $1.9 billion because I was one-third of the, you know, the six-point-whatever it was. You have to justify it, and it's not something that you can't just go to court and sue for anything at all. There has to be some kind of merit, especially with a sexual harassment lawsuit.
You bet, and we've both done a wonderful job of avoiding the most obvious point in front of us, which is most of these cases are never going in front of a jury. Most of these cases will never make it in front of a judge and jury like we see on television. 9/10 of these cases are going to be settled during an arbitration when you get somebody who's going to get both parties there, and one party is going to get dragged through the fire for so long that they want to get out of the suit, that in fact the publicity or the amount of bills that you've accrued has forced you to want to settle to get out of this, that in fact nobody goes in front of the jury, nobody even expects that you will, and that for years you're just going to go back and forth doing depositions back and forth, no matter how frivolous that lawsuit. Sure, if it got in front of the jury, but how many of those cases ever really get into a court? Not many. Thanks for calling. 866-313-3733. Lise, go for it.
I have a little Omarosa background.
Yeah.
She grew up in the projects of Ohio.
What's that got to do with sexual harassment?
She paid for her post-secondary education by entering beauty pageants. She graduated Central State University, got her master's at Howard, and she worked at the White House as a political consultant. However, she was eventually fired for leaving an overwhelmingly negative influence everywhere she went.
Ah, so maybe there was a harassment issue there. Seriously, isn't that kind of what the lady is saying about Isaiah? Yeah. 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 Yeah.
David Lee Roth, weekday mornings.
This next song is quite simply the greatest composition in human history. And if you disagree, I will fight you.
I'm gonna find my baby, gonna hold her tight, gonna grab some afternoon delight. My motto's always been, when it's right, why wait until the middle of a cold, dark night? When everything's a little clearer in the light of day, hey, hey, and you know the night is always gonna be there anyway.
Thinking of you's working up my appetite.
Roth Radio, baby, and I hereby testify to all of you listening that I am over 18 years old. I am signing this letter of my own free will, and that I'm not under any duress. I have no sexually transmittable diseases, and I voluntarily agree and consent to engage in sexual activity with you. Very special radio show. Come close to the speaker, Roth Radio. My sister Lisa Roth here, and my very, very special guest, Mr. Ronald Scholar, Esquire. How are you, Ronald?
Thank you. Very good. Pleasure to be here, David.
Excellent. Ronald is the architect of something that a whole lot of people, a lot of pointy little ears are sticking up even as we speak about this. He developed the pre-sexual agreement, which is inspired by the Kobe Bryant case, and he's concerned with protecting celebs from those who would seek otherwise to obtain money or other compensation stemming from you know what with you know who, supposedly and allegedly. Ronald, welcome. Make yourself at home. We did.
Okay, thanks a lot. Great to be here.
So you go ahead and start in on this. What caused you to have what precursed this idea?
Well, you know, as you said, this is inspired originally by the Kobe Bryant case and various other cases, many of which did not come to the public's attention because they didn't actually go to court and were settled out of court. So I came up with an idea saying, look, you know what? Celebrities need to be protected, not only celebrities, but any sort of targeted individuals because of if not only fame, money, what have you. And, you know, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure.
How many cases actually make it to court in front of a judge and jury? I was just kind of arguing with an attorney on the phone here. Yeah. Out of 100 cases of this specific nature, how many of them would actually arrive in front of a jury and, you know, Perry Mason style?
Well, I don't know that there's any empirical data on this, but as with sexual harassment cases, as you were talking about earlier this morning, more than 90% are either thrown out or settled before they come to court. So the number would be less than 10%.
There you go. Yeah. And, you know, if it arrived in front of a jury or whatever, it may be one kind of disposition. But 9 times out of 10, you're arguing over my lawyer can last longer than your lawyer. Is that not a case that you've witnessed before?
Oh, absolutely. And it's also a case of, you know, who wants this type of publicity on top of it. So it's kind of like a form of legalized blackmail.
Oh, yeah. You know, if you start throwing shade on somebody who has or maintains an impression of being grounded and centered, somebody who's, you know, a boss of a football team or a basketball team in this case, you know, mm-hmm. Kobe Bryant represented the straight and narrow, the very conservative, whatever kind of guy. Right. So you invented this. And you say that this goes free to anyone who contacts your office.
Yeah, it's part of my pro bono work, David, trying to give something back to the people, you know?
Well, also, you're alerting a whole lot of folks that you do this kind of work, you know? What, for those of us who weren't smart enough to actually sign the paper, we're now smart enough to remember your name and where we can find you.
I appreciate that. But this is not the kind of work I do. What I normally do is just recording agreements, things of that nature. I'm an entertainment lawyer. I came up with this to help people, you know, as a side project. This is. I'm not a sexual harassment lawyer.
However, we reach millions and millions of people here worldwide. We're on the net. We get calls everywhere from Helsinki to Rio de Janeiro. And this sounds like something that's going to catch major fire.
Well, you know what, David? Anyone who wants this could have it for free. Go to my website, scholarlaw.com, SKOLER.com. And you could have it. We'll email it to you.
So what is the process that you would use? How would you use this paper? What would you do? Explain.
Well, I wouldn't necessarily need it. But, you know, back in – you might have been the prototype for something like this.
Absolutely. I would – if I had had this kind of info, yeah. Then absolutely. Would have had people sign this. Absolutely.
Granted, it's not romantic, but neither is a lawsuit.
Well,
right?
Neither is backstage after my shows.
Those are legendary. I've heard about that.
Seriously. And I remember once upon a time I had asked about I had said, you know, is it possible? I said that piano players insure their fingers. I said that tap dancers insure their feet. I said, is it possible to call Lloyd's of London and see if we could insure little Elvis? Because I'm bound to get into some kind of paternity difficulties in the future. And they actually took it under advisement. I couldn't afford it.
You need to renegotiate your royalty rate. But, you know, it's interesting. You talk about paternity, which is a very interesting point here, because that's the one thing that's not in this specific release.
Okay.
And the reason for that is that you cannot deny paternity through this. Consenting adults could agree to basically anything they want, as long as it's not illegal. And the thing here is that if there would be a child, if the woman would get pregnant, you couldn't say something in this agreement to the effect that, well, he denies paternity or he's not going to support the child or the woman has to get an abortion or something like that. That would be void as against public policy, and that's why that's omitted.
Okay, but this stands. This is a workable document that if you showed this to an arbitrator or a judge, they would say that this is a real deal. Do you need witnesses when you sign?
Yeah, I was going to say, I can already see a potential problem.
Speak to it.
Where do you put the witness after it's signed?
What do you mean? Where do you put the witness?
No, the notary that you need. Is there room in the bedroom for them somewhere?
Actually, you don't need a witness or a notary.
No, but he's asking a serious – that's something that crossed my mind. How do you make this ironclad? Like how do you – what makes the person who signed it say that's not my signature or that I did that after?
No, more likely is that somebody would say I was drunk or that it was late at night. There was alcohol involved after midnight. Everybody right. is guilty. Right. And would this actually stand without a witness?
Well, first of all, most contracts don't need witnesses. This is not a real estate contract or something of that nature. It's a very good question that you asked, Lisa. But any contract could be attacked. You know, you could have the contract for the sale of a house, and then you say, well, wait a minute, he didn't own that house that he sold me. You know, and you could attack it and say, wait, I was drunk, I didn't mean to do this or do that or whatever, and then it becomes a question of fact for the jury or the judge. But as a valid contract, I believe this would stand up, certainly in New York or California. And it goes to the state of mind of the person. You know, at least it goes to the state of mind saying, I signed it. I voluntarily agreed to engage in sexual activity with you. You didn't hit me over the head and drag me into your hotel room at 3 a.m.
Or at least that you asked me to do that.
Right.
Because I'll read it here. It says, I am over the age of 18. I am signing this letter of my own free will. I am not under any physical or mental incapacity or under any duress or under any undue influence because of alcohol, drugs, or otherwise. I can see where somebody might maintain, just like with Mike Tyson, that his celebrity and his stardom blurred her good sense and her future vision, and that was like working under duress or under, it would be like working on drug on a small provincial young lady. Look, I'm pleading the case. Like she's a small provincial schoolgirl who knew nothing of the ways of Hollywood or professional sports or anything in between, and that his mere stardom, his presence, and his personality worked like a drug on her delicate little cerebral cortex, and that's why she committed what she committed. We'll speak to that.
Well, he went to prison, didn't he? So I guess that argument worked if you're talking about Mike Tyson and the Sunday school teacher from Indianapolis who visited him in the middle of the night in his hotel, too.
Okay, and it did. You're exactly right. And had he had this document, would he have not served time? If she had signed this document, was she 18? She was 18,
yeah,
right?
She was a Sunday school teacher, as I recall, as well.
Oh, well, that makes it even better. If a Sunday school teacher signs this document, then it's like blessed by God or something, right?
It's an interesting point.
Really? If she's a Sunday school teacher, but she was a kid, you know, she's 19 or whatever, right? But the combination of the two, I'm wondering if Mike Tyson had this document, would he have been able to clear himself of that case?
You know, David, there's no guarantees that are made, but I believe it would hold up. I mean, if it turns out that the facts are radically different from this, if it turns out that the person claims they're 18 or 17 or whatever it is in that particular jurisdiction, and they turn out to be 14, would it hold up? No. But the facts being as stated, it would hold up. Or even if it's not 100% as stated, if the person had a couple of drinks or what have you, it still goes to state of mind. And it still goes to point out that this was a consensual thing and that this was not something that would be actionable.
So if there's alcohol involved, okay, because 9 times out of 10, if you're signing a document like this with somebody, you know that there's a potential divot in the green up ahead, right?
Or some kind of controlled substance, perhaps. Who knows?
Perhaps. Yeah. A fella could get lucky. But but if you know that is involved, does that negate any of the contract or without a witness?
It becomes a question of fact, as any other contract. Whether or not there was fraud, whether or not it's a breach of contract, whether or not the facts are stated. But again, that could be in any contract.
Well, wait a minute. In any of my romances, particularly my love affairs, and Lisa, you've known all my girlfriends.
Oh, I've had breakfast with every Dottie, every Bambi, every... Yep.
Well, then you know that there was nothing but lies, alcohol involved, admission of fact misstated. That my whole love life is based on that. So this document is of no use to me, right?
No, I wouldn't say that. It all depends on the person. We live in a very litigious society, as you well know. Today, you know, people are going to court for anything or nothing. You can't even get references anymore. If you have an employee and you dismiss that employee or they leave and somebody calls for references about them, they won't even tell you she was good, he was bad, not good, not bad. They just say, well, our policy is they worked from such and such to such and such. They did such and such, such and such, got paid such and such. They can't even give a reference anymore because they're afraid of being sued.
Mr. Eichmann was a wonderful soldier.
He only followed orders.
Let's go to a call here. Justin, talk to us about what you think of with the document here. Roth Radio, 866-313-3733. I'm talking to Ronald Scholar, who has the pre-sexual agreement. He was inspired by the Kobe Bryant case, and he'll share with you. Justin, you're on. Go.
Go ahead. Good morning. Listen, I have a little scenario here, David. Let's say you were in a hotel room with a potential lovemaker, and you had this person sign the document. Let's say after or between foreplay, she decides not to for whatever reason, and you allegedly do not give her, you know, the chance to leave. This could leave a potential problem for her or yourself.
Okay, Ron, can you speak to that?
Sure. It's not consensual if he doesn't allow her to leave. I mean, I'm talking about consensual sexual activity between two adults. If he were not to allow her to leave, which it would be impossible, I couldn't see David doing that. But if that, she probably wouldn't want to leave. But in your scenario, if he didn't allow her to leave, then that could be a kidnapping. That could be, it would certainly be a crime, let alone a lawsuit.
Okay.
Yeah, but he would have a signed document saying this was consensual. I didn't keep her there.
I think what he's maybe reflecting on, what he may have misarticulated, is that suppose she signs the document, and just as I finish foreplay, she decides to quit. It's happened.
Yeah, well, in that case, she wouldn't be, what are you going to do? In that case, he would have to stop, and the deal would be off because you haven't fulfilled the contract. Look at it that way.
Makes perfect sense.
Yeah, I mean, it's consensual. If all of a sudden somebody flips the script and it becomes a whole different scenario, then I agree with you.
Then it's no longer consensual.
Right.
Roth Radio, don't go away. We're the consenting adults. We're going to sign the document. Roth Radio, 866-313-3733. We'll be right back after this.
David Lee Roth, Mornings.
Roth Radio, David Lee Roth. I'm full of red meat, vim, and vigor, baby. I'm going to sexually harass an entire country when the sun goes down tonight. Thanks to everybody from the Palm West down on 50th for the most amazing breakfast. There's steak and lobster out there. Steak and lobster for breakfast. Lisa, this was your idea.
Oh, it's amazing. Eggs, hash browns.
The works. Amazing. Thanks so much to everybody from the Palm Restaurant, Palm West. Woof.
Amazing.
I knew this job was going to be a good idea. Yeah. And this all ties in because I'm getting ready to sexually harass somebody. And when I do, I'm going to need this document. Here, I'm talking to Ronald Scholar. He's the New York City entertainment lawyer who developed the pre-sexual agreement inspired by the Kobe Bryant case. Ronald, how are you?
I'm good, David.
Outstanding. Now, I have the general release here, and I'm going to actually sign this. And this will become a keepsake, right?
Right. It's not going to go on eBay. Don't worry.
No, it could. I could get sued and sell it for legal fees here.
That's funny.
Okay, we got a few calls, actually. Lauren, talk to me. Number five there, Hutch. 866-313-3733. If you have a question for Ron Scholar or my sister Lisa Roth, give us a buzz here, and I'll try and mediate. Swing, you're on, Lauren.
Hi. Okay, I have a question. It was kind of about the other guy's question. Let's say, you know, a guy and a girl, she signs the agreement, and they're having, whatever, they're drunk, and they're hooking up, and then all of a sudden she's like, you know, I really don't want to do this. This isn't a good idea. But he doesn't stop, and he rapes her. And
well, that's a pretty obvious question, okay? That's like stark reality question. Serious, is there a ramification that we can't see that's happening there? There's never going to be an incidence where date rape is cool. There's never going to be an incidence where rape is cool. There's never going to be an incidence where if you slam your little knees shut with the same final sound as the front door at San Quentin Prison, that he can fight his way in. Ronald, do you agree or disagree?
I agree 100%. I agree with the caller, and I agree with what you're saying. You know, rape is such a terrible, serious thing that the word should not be cheapened, you know, by anything other than, you know, what the real definition is. Rape is not, you know, when the guy sees something as a sexual encounter, and the woman, on the other hand, perhaps it could go either way. It could be either gender, but for the sake of this illustration, if the woman feels like, wait, he really loves me, I really care about him, this is going to be a relationship, and he's looking at it like, hey, you were great, good night, see you later, have a nice life, and then she feels, wait a minute, he used me, that's not right, I don't feel good. In fact, I feel raped, come to think of it.
That's usually going to be the case. This is what Jude Law is looking down the barrel of. He doesn't know it. But if he's hanging out with strippers from the body shop across from the Chateau Marmont, which we read in the page six here, and I have no reason to disbelieve it because I do, but I have a legal wherewithal here and a capacity for what I can and can't do, that I'm wondering if Jude Law, who is quite frankly, from out of state. And his little girlfriend, like you said, is very likely to wake up at 4 a.m. and go, oh, honey, let's go get some breakfast. And he says, no, I've got makeup call on my next movie here, and I've got to leave. And I got your number, sweetheart, and I'll give you a call. And she goes, you're not getting out of here like this. Let's go have breakfast. He says, baby, you know I'm a working actor. You know I'm doing the so-and-so flick. I've got to go. And she goes, you son of a... And she starts to cop that edge. This is precisely the sequence that you're talking about, is it not, Ron?
It is, and it could even be, you know, worse than that, where, like in the Rod Stewart song, Stay With Me, you know, we say, for tonight you're going to stay with me, but I'll even you give your cab fare home. You could even use my best cologne, just don't be here in the morning when I wake up.
Well, I know how to make cab fare in 6 different languages.
Lise? I think what she's saying is, suppose it does become date rape.
Okay.
He has a signed document now. So he has a defense. I didn't date rape her. Look, she signed it.
Okay, hold on. Put her back on. Lauren, are you still there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, speak to that. What is the sequence of events specifically that you're wondering about? Go ahead.
All right, well, they're both agreeing. You know, she wants to have sex with him. They're going to whatever. But then she's like, you know, I really don't want to do this. And he's thinking to himself, you know, I got a signed document. He's like, I can do whatever the hell I want to her. And, you know, granted, she's got wounds or anything like that, that, you know, that a rape kit could come up, but if he really does actually rape her and she's saying no, he has this document that says it was consensual, so in court, basically, she's like, no, I really was, and you know, nothing can happen because there's a signed document.
Ron, speak to that, if you would.
I think you make a good point, but, you know, anything can be abused. Any agreement can be breached. Any promise could turn into a lie, unfortunately, and that's you know, just something that exists in the world, unfortunately. But, you know, the fact that somebody could lie or you know, breach this doesn't mean that it's not a valid contract or something that should not be enforced. It would be, but like you said, it could be abused, and if that happens, you know, that's the same as with any other contract or with any other promise.
Please.
Or maybe just the existence of this will dissuade some sort of behavior. If a woman is handed this, she might think twice about
hopefully
either getting involved in the first
place. That is an excellent point, and that's come up before. A lot of people would be offended by this, would walk out, you know, and I could understand that. And if that happens, then the celebrity might not be happy for that moment, but would probably be better off in the long run because, obviously, the two of them were seeing this encounter from totally different ways.
I agree. And this, I don't know that this is directed simply at celebrities. Obviously, we're talking about it in this forum here, because this is publicity. This is about speaking to a lot of people. In some sense of the word, we're celebs because we're broadcasting to so many different people. Mm-hmm. I myself have a background of international intrigue and danger. And of course, this kind of a document would apply. But I don't think that the bulk of the folks who would have an interest in this are celebrities at all. What do you think?
Well, up to now, it's usually gone to celebrities, and but it doesn't have to be necessarily. But usually it goes to somebody who's either famous or very wealthy or somebody who would be targeted in this type of way.
I know that folks...
Someone is vulnerable.
In certain townships, the car dealer who rules the whole corner and the car dealership part two across the street is the celebrity of the town.
Sure.
In many small towns, the local sheriff is the celebrity of the town, or the mayor, or the basketball coach for the winning high school team down in Texas somewhere. These are celebs. These are local celebs themselves. Lise?
Do you know that celebrities have used this?
Yes.
Can you name names?
Of course not. Because for one, it's attorney-client privilege if they're my clients. But not only that, but I've been approached by other attorneys on behalf of their clients or by clients directly saying, we heard about this on CNN or on Fox or whatever. Could you, you know, send this to us? I said, sure. I can't name names, but one band in England that I never met but heard of course, contacted me. One of the members directly. And said, I heard about this. We just got back from a tour of Japan. I wish we had this. Could you send it to us?
Of course.
So, sure.
Japan is a free-for-all. I know that personally. You will leave a trail of groupies and rubble that's based entirely on your billboard standings there, and all the more that you should get the job. That's why you worked hard enough to get elected. Enjoy some of the fringe benefits, but you're saying some of the fringe benefits may not be to your taste, huh?
It may be too on the fringe.
Please?
I need a lesson in pre-sexual agreement etiquette.
Okay.
when do you sign this? What is the most opportune time?
When's the perfect time to do this?
The perfect time.
Well, you know, as you can imagine, when this type of thing is happening at the Holiday Inn in Des Moines or wherever, you know, the lawyer is usually not present at that time.
Well, that depends.
Well, you talked about a witness, but I haven't witnessed it. I would think normally the time is when you're coming up to the room, maybe downstairs in the lobby or in the lounge, as they call the bar, whatever. I think that would depend, but shortly before any activity would take place.
I bet there is a perfect time, and we should do a test.
What do you mean a perfect time? Before people start drinking or before people start dancing?
Well, I don't know. There's a time when, like, if you cross the line, it might be offensive to someone. If you did it a few minutes earlier, it would be okay. Yeah, there's the perfect time.
As a woman, what would you say would be the perfect time?
I'd want it up front.
What do you mean? Before dinner? Before hors d'oeuvres?
When the conversation started. I'd want it, because it says something about the person.
What do you mean when the conversation started? How do you do? My name's Dave. Have you ever seen one of these?
Well, you know, if you get...
I guess you're talking about the agreement.
Because, yeah, throughout the 80s, that meant something very different. And then you would show the document. If they kept their eyes, if they had focus, you would then present them with the document, right, Ron?
Right.
Okay, Lise, continue. I'm making a fool of myself.
No.
Go ahead. What would be, for a woman, what would be the perfect time for
I
you?
I think it varies with individuals, come to think of it.
That's for me, a lawyer answer. Come
no,
on.
No, I think it would. For me, I'd want it sooner rather than later because it says a lot. I kind of would like to see this. That would tell me a lot about the person.
It would tell
what their intentions are, but I don't need to be told.
Yeah, but
that.
The ultimate intention is always the same.
Right.
Come on.
That's what I just said. I wouldn't need to be told
it's,
that.
It's like when I would watch pornography with my girlfriend Stacy, and she'd go, "How do you think this ends?"
it speaks of a certain amount of responsibility.
Which is about all I have on Friday. So come on, talk. What? When would that be? Before hors d'oeuvres, or when the guy meets you and asks you on a date, or when he comes to the door at 8 o'clock to pick you up, or at what? In the car on the way to the restaurant?
Well, he brought up the scenario of being in a bar, so obviously it's sort of a quick, you know, that in that scenario, probably if the conversation went on for a few minutes and we were laughing and having a good time and you were like in the flow. Yeah, I would like him to show me.
At the bar. Because that would endanger the process, wouldn't it? It was in the improper lighting. Yeah. There was loud music. There was alcohol involved. Secondary smoke. You know, it's. I watch a lot of court TV. I'm a junior attorney.
That's good. The way I look upon this is not so much somebody taking someone out on a date as a sports team on tour, a rock band on tour,
right.
A rap artist on tour, something like that, where you're away from home, you're lonely, you're having these kind of thoughts. And you're being approached by someone who used to be your high school fantasy, and now they're coming up to you at the hotel or wherever, and you're vulnerable in that situation, and they're coming up to you because of who you are.
Okay, wouldn't that also apply to our kids in the military?
Oh,
yeah.
It's an interesting situation. I guess it could.
Absolutely. Don't go away. You want to stick around for one more segment? This is a great topic here.
I would
here.
Love to.
And the phones are lit up. I am talking to Ron, and he's the inventor of the pre-sexual agreement, or the pre-agreement before good sex, or the demand for good sex, and then we'll both agree. It's Roth Radio. Don't go away.
Mornings.